We are very happy to be back. And we're very blessed to be with you guys. Today we wanted, even though we were gone 2 months, we wanted to share a little bit about our trip, a little bit of a trip report. We can't do it all today, and we're not going to keep you here for hours. But we want to give you a little bit, tell you what God did. And so Robin's going to start with a little with her part, her testimony of it, and then I'll finish up. So we're a team, and I'm the closer today. Okay.
Well, first of all, we don't want to start any sharing here at all without saying how much a part every single one of you were of this trip. And I mean that with my whole heart. I mean, the people there know that our church sacrificed to send us for 2 months. And they appreciate all of you, what you did and everything to make it possible for us to go and be there with them. And the impact of that was great on the churches, and the words and the prayers that you had for us before we left were like, we read them and reread them, and we needed every single one. And there were even some things that happened right before we came home where there was from the prayer meeting here that really impacted us too. So we would just want you to know that you're always in our hearts, always in our minds, and we are never thinking that we're there alone. You know, we're tethered, like Brad's words said to us. We're tethered to the body of Christ there and to the body of Christ here. And so we love you guys very much. So, you know, we arrived in Mexico on the 4th of January, and Wayne, like a couple days later, left for the mountain trip with Joy and some others. Joy. And so I had the opportunity to spend 10 days in Topeka with a friend of mine, the woman who had actually been the translator for Joy and Pancho's wedding. Her name is Enriqueta. And she just really blessed me. She has a lovely home, and I had hot showers. And so, you know, like, it was just a time of rest before the ministry really began there, although there was ministry time with her and her daughter while I was there. But it was just a blessing. And in that time, I really took that time to prepare for what God would have ahead of me with the women in the two churches we were going to be meeting with. And so it was a time for me to be able to rest and pray and rest and pray and read and prepare. And I'm very grateful for that. And in that time of doing that, God led me to 2 Chronicles chapters 29 to 32, which is the whole Hezekiah story. And in case, you know, you don't remember, because I didn't remember, I needed refreshing. He was 25 years old when he became king in Israel, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And the two things that really stood out to me were chapter 30, verse 22. Which says, "And Hezekiah spoke encouragingly to all the Levites who showed good skill in the service of the Lord. So they ate the food of the festival for 7 days, sacrificing peace offerings and giving thanks to the Lord, the God of their fathers." Here's the king of Israel, and it says he spoke encouragingly to all the Levites. And then also in chapter 32:6, it says, "And he set combat commanders over the people and gathered them together to him in the square at the gate of the city and spoke encouragingly to them, saying, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or be dismayed," and so on. So those scriptures really impacted me because I knew that what God was going to have me doing was mainly encouraging the women. That's what I like to do anyway. But it ended up being pretty much a theme for our whole trip, even with the men and other things. So that was really cool. And then the other scripture he gave me in that first week was Psalm 71:18. And it says, So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. And so I've really prayed that for this trip. I just said, God, I have gray hair. And I want to proclaim your heart to another other generations, even while I'm still living and have this gray hair and all that stuff. So those things God really just ministered to me at the beginning of the trip. The thing that God did in general on the trip as a theme throughout was that he had us focus on family, like the church being a family, and also on friendship. And that ended up setting the course right at the beginning and was the underlying theme that we kept building on the whole time. And it was amazing what God did with those two things. So I just wanted to tell you about the ladies' meeting that I had, that I did in La Puerta, which is La Puerta de Lima, which is in the La Punita area where we went originally 26 years ago. And it's where Rosa and Manuel and their family live and stuff like that. And the church is a little bit north of there. And so La Puerta, the first ladies' meeting I was going to do there, it became apparent that there was no translator because there was a men's meeting at the same time and that Wayne was doing. Danny was able to translate for Wayne, but there was no translator for me. And I sort of realized that before Danny did. And I just started talking to the Lord about it, and he just said to me, I want you to do this. Trust me. I want you to do this in Spanish. And I was like, and I felt such peace. And I was so surprised because I usually get very nervous about doing that. So I had my notes, and I said to Danny, I said, I really feel God wants me to do this. Don't worry about finding me a translator. I'm going to do it in Spanish myself. And I said, you know, I just need your help with a few phrases that I can write in my notes, the Spanish, so I make sure I say them right. So he helped me that afternoon with some things, and I wrote them above my notes. And so when I started to share with the ladies that night, I told them, I said, this is the first time that I'm going to be sharing with anybody, any meeting like this in Spanish. And they all instantly broke out clapping and cheering. And I was like so floored by that. And it made me realize how important it is for them, even though I've known that for a lot of years. But in that case, it was so like immediate that I knew how important it was that we try and communicate in their language. And I said, I'll need your help. I said, I got some help from Danny today on some things, but I'm going to need your help. If you just call out help, if you see me flustered, you know, and you know what word I'm looking for. So they did, and we had a wonderful, wonderful meeting. And I talked about friendship in the church because it is very common for their warm culture, but they don't have deep friendships. That's not a natural thing for them. And so I talked about, first of all, why friendship in the church is really important. I talked about why friendship can be difficult for us. I talked about the fact that I really believe that friendship needs to be learned and practiced. I think it's something we need to teach to our children because it doesn't come naturally for people to know how to be good friends. And I shared about how everyone needs encouragement. And then we did a little dynamic activity at the end. And the only thing that was really funny about throughout my teaching and the dynamic at the end is there was times when I asked for feedback. Like, what did you think about this comment? Could anybody tell me how you feel about this? And all of a sudden these ladies start responding and I'm not understanding what they're saying. And I didn't stop to think that I needed help with that. So Rosa kind of, you know, she's really good. She knows me so well that she sort of like reworded some things and helped me know what was going on. But that part was a little crazy. So The other thing that happened in both churches in San Juan, where Joy and Pancho are, and up in La Puerta, is that a lot of people had us over for meals. I mean, I brought gifts with me for people to give to people who had us for meals, and I ran out of gifts. So, you know, it was really, really special time. And then, you know, basically at the end of the trip, it was amazing because when people from both churches were sharing with us what their time with us had meant to them, almost all the testimonies were, you came to my house and you had a meal with me and you prayed for my family and you talked to us and you were friends with us. And so people were crying and stuff like that. And I was just so amazed at what God did. But the underlying theme was friendship. Then the thing that I wanted, I don't know if you guys remember, but Crystal had a word for us when you guys prayed for us before we left. And her word was that there's going to be an let me just read it really quickly. I have it right here. It was about an explosion. Let's see. While I was sitting there, I kept hearing an explosion. I still hear it. It's very big, but it's nothing to be feared. And I'm not sure what that means, but I just hear it as you are there, both of you as you are there. And there is an explosion. So I don't know what that means, but I do know the Lord's word, and he does. He will protect your coming and going. So the explosion that I hear in my head is nothing to be feared. I don't know what that means, but anyway, thank you, God. Well, I'm pretty sure I know what it means. Because we were talking with around the breakfast table at Joy's house one morning with Joy and Pancho and Armando, who's the 21-year-old guy from their church who has a little coffee cart out in front of the house, and he's a part of the leadership of the church. And anyway, Wayne was suggesting to the guys that they start getting together for men's meetings in the church, and the guys just were like, no. They were not happy about that idea. And so the reason was, as it turned out, that the men down there don't like men's meetings because they, in the past, like what they usually only get together for men's meetings if there's a problem in the church that needs to be discussed. So it's not something that men look forward to. So anyway, it was really cool because as we talked about it, so Wayne took that opportunity then to share what it's like at the elders' meetings here, and how that first the elders have a friendship relationship and they get together as friends, and sometimes they talk about things they like to do, like hunting and fishing and things like that, and then they may talk about, you know, what's happening in their lives of their family with each other, and you know, different things. And then if there's things that come up that they need to discuss about the church, they discuss it. But basically the bottom line is they meet together as friends, and so they look forward to those meetings. And when Wayne said that, he said, so I think you should just start thinking about having a friendship men's meeting where you just get together and hang out, you know, and talk about whatever you want to talk about. And at that point, literally my son-in-law Pancho, who can be very quiet and you never know what he's thinking, and he was adamant at first about the no men's meeting thing. When Wayne said that, he literally exploded out of his chair and he was jumping up and down. He grabbed his guitar and put it on and started to, you know, get ready to worship. And Armando was like, yes, that's great, and all this stuff. And the whole atmosphere in the room changed, and they said, that's it, that's what we need. And I knew right away, Crystal's word came right into my mind when I saw Pancho explode out of his chair, and I knew that was the good explosion. And so so that's basically all I'm going to share. I shared a couple things that I at the beginning that I was going to share at the end, so I'm going to let Wayne take over. But thank you again for all your prayers and support.
Well, thank you, Lord.
When we went down, there was only one message I had on my heart to share. And that was the message that basically Owen shared with us, is that the church needed to be a family. So I shared that with them, and both churches were, not the first week we were there, then we went to the mountain trip, but the week after, the Porta had its annual birthday party for the church. And then the week after, San Juan had it. So I said, oh, well, I'm going to give that message at this, at the meeting where, you know, it was special to them, and they always celebrate the birthday of the church, right? The start of the church, right? Of their fellowship. And so I shared that message at both those places, and the message is basically, you're not an organization, you know, the church is a family. And we explained how we're supposed to function as a family, and that families are the foundation of the church, and all of those things that are related to that. So that was the message. Now I'm done, right? You know, that's what God gave me to share. And but then when we got together with the leadership at Porta, we asked a lot of questions, and we went through some different things, and I asked them, well, you know, what about leadership? What about what's happening with that, sharing with them? And they said, oh, well, you know, we're struggling along with that. Can you share this subject and this subject? And I said, okay. So now I know the next step. So the rest of that week, we just shared about how friendship needs to be the basis of family. If you can have a family and it can be very dysfunctional because they don't like each other, right? But when you tie friendship into family, then it becomes functional, right? So we were sharing some of those things with them. But then after that, we got to share how leadership fits into the family structure, and they understood that. And then we got to share about their responsibility in the family, that they are priests in before the Lord, and how they function that way with them. So there was the teachings we did was about family and friendship, and then some leadership stuff, and then one of the last messages I shared was on the purpose of God, and when I shared that message, it was like opened up a whole new world to them, where they thought of things completely different, because when they understood what God's purpose was, then it made sense, everything else that we were sharing. And so what I realized is that when the foundation of the church in Ephesians chapter 2 talks about the apostle and prophet are part of the foundation where Christ is the cornerstone. And so the first messages I was giving was more of an apostolic message. How does the church function? How does it look? Things like that. But then when I shared about the purpose of God, now I shared a prophetic message to them, where now they saw what God's heart was for the church and how that fit together with that. So now the two pieces that are part of the foundation came together for them. And it was amazing to see how God led us to bring the right messages for them, what they needed right then.